This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Westminster Choir College's An Evening of Readings and Carols is a fusion of two great Christmas traditions from England and the United States, the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols from King's College, Cambridge, which began in 1918, has proved to be one of the most influential liturgical events of the 20th century, with iterations being mounted in churches, chapels, and cathedrals around the world. When it was first established at Westminster Choir College's An Evening of Readings and Carols in 1992, it was based solely on the King's College service and performed in Bristol Chapel on the Westminster campus. In response to the growing demand for tickets, Westminster's Readings and Carols moved to the Princeton University Chapel, and the synergy with King's College grew even deeper. When Princeton University's chapel was completed in the 1920s, it stood as the second largest collegiate chapel in the world, sitting behind only King's College Chapel in its dimensions. Its choir stalls are hewn from English oak, and its design is clearly set in the Gothic tradition of medieval English architecture. Over the past 25 years, the music and readings that are performed at An Evening of Readings and Carols have evolved to represent the rich diversity of our community. These concerts have become a musical milestone for all Westminster Choir College students and a holiday tradition for many Princeton area residents and music lovers worldwide who listen to the annual broadcasts on WWFM, the Classical Network.
I
The music you just heard is an arrangement made specially for Readings and Carols in 1994 by our professor of sacred music, Steve Pilkington. I Wander As I Wander is entirely of American origin. John Jacob Niles collected the melody while in the town of Murphy in the Appalachian, North Carolina. Fragments were sung to him by a girl named Annie Morgan, though Niles later constructed his own version of the melody for his own words. Quote, "She smiled as she sang, smiled rather sadly," Niles later recalled. This arrangement was written for the Westminster Chapel Choir to open the Readings and Carols in 1994, and it has established itself as an annual part of the college's Readings and Carols. Welcome to this special sounds choral celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Westminster Readings and Carols. I'm your host, James Jordan, professor of conducting at Westminster Choir College, and I'm thrilled to have with me my colleague Kathy Shaw, who is conductor of the renowned Westminster Concert Handbell Choir. It was Kathy and I who started the Readings and Carols 25 years ago, so it's great to have her in the studio and for us to kind of reminisce together somewhat saccharinely over the 25 years that we've done this. So welcome, Kathy.
Thanks, Jim. It'll be fun to discuss the evolution of this event.
So let's discuss how we started. We started in Bristol Chapel, and my want was to just replicate the King's Readings and Carols. But I did want to insert the handbell portion. The logic of the handbell portion was, to be quite frank, I had been in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, at Lewisburg High School, and Bill Payne became a very good friend of mine. And Bill's Readings and Carols was the King's model, but with handbells and choir. What impressed me was the end of the program, which features the handbells. So we have kept that intact. So maybe you want to tell our listeners about that?
Sure. Bill Payne was director of music and chapel at Bucknell University. Mm-hmm. And both you and I attended those events over the years. And at the end of the program, there is the ringing of the season, which brings us into what might be the strike of midnight. And we're standing in the town square and we hear various churches ring their bells announcing the birth of Christ. So these peals take us into the joyful singing of Joy to the World.
Tell the listeners how many bells you use, because I always feel foolish when people say, I say, we have the largest handbell choir in the world, and then they ask me, was it like 50 ringers? And I don't mean that. I mean in the actual use of the bell. So can you explain to them the numbers of bells that you use and how the peal happens?
Sure. We are very honored at Westminster to be able to ring on the world's largest range of handbells, from C1 to C9, which is a full 8 octaves of bells cast from bronze as well as aluminum. These bells, many of them are one of a kind. The lower octave from C1 to F-sharp 1 are one of a kind, and we're very grateful to have them on loan to us from the manufacturer, Malmark. With ringing in of the season, Joy to the World is sung usually in the key of D major, so therefore we start with a very low ringing of a D2, striking the hour of midnight, 12 tolls leading by descending peals in this key of D major. And we do have 8 quartets of ringers placed around the chapel perimeter so that the audience has sort of a surround sound of handbells ringing as midnight strikes.
Well, it's been one of the most effective things, and it was the thing I remember the first year that everybody was kind of wowed by, because it's not a traditional part. I mean, King's does not do it, but it has become a part of us. In fact, to the point where in one of the years or several of the years, I had seen the Mormon Tabernacle do a similar type of ringing in every carol. There were literally hundreds of bells being pealed about. And, you know, the bells have been an important part of it and an important part of the development. It's interesting over these 25 years, Kathy, to see the growth of this in numbers of singers. I can't believe this originally started as a chapel choir with bells appearing project. And I don't know what I was thinking other than the fact that I thought, oh, this would be a good thing for chapel choir to do. Well, it was for a while. We did everything. We sang all the anthems and we sang all the carols. But when we moved to the chapel, it became a different sonic room. We needed more sound to drive the carols, and Joe Flummerfelt was instrumental in that. It also went through several iterations. So what we did was it became chapel choir, and then we invited Schola. We'd had several experiments with other ensembles, and what we decided that it should be a school event with our curricular choirs, which meant chapel choir, Schola Cantorum, symphonic choir, and the concert handbell choir. And with that mechanism, we then crafted what is now Readings and Carols. It's an all-school event.
And Jim, I'll clarify, at Westminster, each student is part of a curricular choir. Our freshman class makes up our chapel choir, our sophomores form the Schola Cantorum, and then juniors, seniors, and graduate students sing in our symphonic choir. So it literally is an entire school event these days. What started from the freshman class has grown into the entire Westminster community.
I'm sure our listeners will be listening over the Christmas holidays to other schools that do similar Christmas events. There's the St. Olaf event. There's the Luther College event. They are stunning in their own right. This is very different because we use the King's framework to organize the evening. I think it's important at this point that our listeners hear a little bit in case they've, I know it's a choral program, but I think they need to hear the handbell choir.
At this time, we'd like to introduce a piece that the Westminster Concert Bell Choir has been ringing since about 2005. And I should say that the Westminster Concert Bell Choir is an auditioned choir made up of undergraduate and graduate students from Westminster Choir College. And over the years, we've also had students from Rider University and our Lawrenceville campus participate as well. So here's a wonderful setting arranged by Kathy Mokelbust of Green Sleeves.
Thank you.
So the growth over the years musically really is, the carols have stayed in place. We have varied the carols from year to year, but we strangely keep coming back to the Wilcox carols because for the space that we're singing in, they seem to work incredibly well. The pieces that are key to this evening are I Wonder as I Wander, which you've heard earlier in this broadcast. And then the thing that I think people walk away with every time they hear this and will hear this on the broadcast that's coming up is this incredible processional written by James Whitburn. It's called Missa Carolae. And if you're interested in hearing the entire Missa Carolae, it is now on a Naxos disc entitled Carolae. The genesis of this piece and James's thoughts about the piece are really remarkable in the space it was written for. And as an extra added attraction, it's great that we can talk with the composer, James Whitburn, today.
Nice to have the opportunity to talk about the Missa Carolae. It was a piece that was written back in 2004, actually for the 1400th anniversary of Rochester Cathedral, which is the second oldest cathedral in England. It was written for Midnight Mass, the service that starts, well, actually at 11:30 on the eve of Christmas. It's a service which is traditionally absolutely packed full of people, often people that don't go to church very often, but they love to go to that particular occasion. And I've always felt there's something really exciting about the sound of a full cathedral. So when I was asked to write this piece, I was thinking about what might work for people that maybe didn't come to church so often. They wanted a lot of familiarity. And I came up with the idea of writing a whole mass based on familiar Christmas carols. Some of the music was familiar, but with a different twist to it. So I've used a number of carols that people will recognize. For example, there's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, there's Infant Holy, which is the Agnus Dei. And in the introit, there's Passapan, as it's called, and the Kyrie is based on Noël Nouvelle, a beautiful, beautiful French carol, which I think works so well in this processional context. Rochester Cathedral with a brass ensemble and percussion and flute and choirs dotted all around the cathedral, some right up by the nave, some at the back, some in the side aisles and so on, to give a really surround sound effect of the music. This is an effect which is also, I'm happy to say, paralleled in Princeton when Westminster Choir College take on this piece and sing a couple of movements at the beginning of their lessons and carols and use it as a great procession. The single movement, which they've recorded beautifully on the Naxos disc Carolae, the single movement that they particularly use for that big procession is the introit and Kyrie. Those two movements are the ones that we're going to hear now.
Thank you.
What you've just heard is the introit and the Kyrie from the Missa Carolae that opens our readings and carols now for the last, Kathy, how many years is it? Can you remember?
About six.
Six, that's what I would say. And it's with brass, organ, percussion, and the entire school processing into the chapel. So you have to kind of visualize that if you haven't been there in person. For our listeners who may be unfamiliar with the King's College protocol, basically this was constructed as a service of nine readings and carols. So the structure allowed for the conductor of the King's College Choir to choose pieces to illustrate basically the story of Christmas. That set nine lessons and carols. There is a different reader for each one of the nine lessons, and it's a reader from the community. There's one of the boys from the choir that reads. There's one of the professors from the college that reads. So in the readings, there is a tip of the hat to the people of that particular community. What was really clear to us, and I think it was Ann Sears and I that discussed this at length, and Steve Pilkington, that what we wanted to do was craft our own thing, something that would speak more broadly than a specific Anglican arrangement of readings and carols. And so what we have done is we have, over the years, kind of found readings to suit the general mood of Christmas. I don't know if mood is the right thing, but maybe, Kathy, you can talk about this.
Well, we have evolved it from a sacred service with readings from the Bible to a more secular and sacred combination with diversification. We have poems as our readings and wonderful heartfelt stories of Christmas along with music that is both sacred and secular.
What we've tried to do too is instead of using the readings as the organizing framework, there are themes. Some of the themes we've used in the past: light,
love, peace, hope,
general universal themes, and then we fit the music into those themes. So the themes this year are what?
Gathering, peace, giving, and joy.
Yeah, I would say that when Joe Miller joined our faculty, one of the things that it always happens, you bring fresh ideas and fresh thinking. And one of the things that I think I appreciate is he brought this idea of putting music in themes, because what we were doing is kind of trying to get readings to fit with our music, but it was much easier when we had themes. And I think that works extremely, extremely well. So if we step back a bit, a number of years ago, we commissioned a piece from one of our faculty members, Steve Pilkington. And what you're about to hear is the Coventry Carol, arranged by Steve Pilkington, with handbells. It is interesting to note that this was also commissioned at the same time for a program that we were involved with Julie Andrews, of which the handbells were a part of this. And this was commissioned as part of that program. It never got performed in that program because when it was arranged, it was not germane to what the producer wanted to do, but it came out of that program. It's a really stunning arrangement that captures, I think, the sadness of this incredible carol. So without further talk, I'd like you to all listen to Steve Pilkington's stunning arrangement of the Coventry Carol.
Oh,
Over the 25 years, Readings and Carols has been the event for many of our students during their academic year. Many of our alumni say that this is one of the highlights of their time at Westminster, being involved in this wonderful program, not only musically, but the spirit of community in producing an event that involves our entire school at Westminster, as well as it's a great learning experience for them. It's quite a ceremony, and to be able to be a part of the production of it gives them valuable educational experiences that they take forward with them in their own careers as they produce their own Christmas programs.
For me, it's been, Kathy, fascinating to watch because, you know, we didn't originally think, oh, we're going to plan this so it becomes a community event. We did it as a concert, and it outgrew our little chapel. I think at the final time when we did it the second or third year, we were booking out two and three evenings, and everybody said, oh, we will never fill the Princeton Chapel. This will never happen. And the first year we did it, it sold out within an hour. But aside from the want of the community to have something like this, I have marveled at how special it's become for our students. In some years when Symphonic Choir had a gig in New York and some of our students were away, they really didn't like that. And in fact, some of them, if they weren't singing in New York in a particular evening, would sneak in the back door in their tuxedo to be a part of the evening. It is the thing that Westminster does best, and that's singing together. And to hear that community sing touches people. I think that's what I'm most proud of, looking about back over 25 years, that we've created something that's incredibly impactful in this season. And I think this year in particular, every year it seems to become more pertinent and more important that we sing as a community, especially in fact of everything that's been going on with Westminster and our looking for a new partner, that it reaffirms why this school is so incredibly important, not only to us, but to the musical world at large. If I look back over the years, Kathy, at the things we've commissioned that have become major works in the choral repertoire, we have these carols that we commissioned Mack Wilberg for that now are a part of the choral tradition. I Wander as I Wander has become a part of the choral tradition.
Dan Forrest's First Noel has become an epic carol.
An epic carol. And so where we're moving is after this year, we will have a complete set of carols that we will use every year that have been composed for Readings and Carols. So this year, we have a carol composed by Ken Cowan. And by the way, to our listeners, Ken Cowan went to Rice University and was our colleague at the organ and professor of organ here for many years. Because of the 25th anniversary, Professor Cowan is coming to play this performance, and we're quite excited. There is an arrangement of Silent Night, which will become part of the corpus of the event. So that's exciting. But this community thing is, I can't even put into words the impact it means to our students, especially at the end of a semester where it's so stressful. And I must also say, it is an incredible experience for our freshmen. They don't participate in the processional, but they sit in the back balcony. And it's their first Westminster corporate experience. And I have the Schola Cantorum. They could not wait to do Missa Carolae in that processional and learn it. And it's become an incredible ingrained tradition that we're so proud of. The other interesting thing to note about Readings and Carols is its impact upon the rest of the choral community. I can only speak to this country and what I see. I think it has given people license to move away from the King's Readings and Carols format to do things that are more ecumenical. And I've seen this, the openings of programs, I think, are the ones that I would think we have influenced. Some of them start with a cappella choral pieces. Some of them start with I Wander as I Wander. I've seen that around. But I think it has given people license that, oh, let's use this format with the influence of Kings and develop our own expression for the season, given our community. And I think those things have come out. But people have been influenced by even seeing in coming. Mack Wilberg, who's the conductor of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and was associate conductor at the time he came to Readings and Carols, when you watch their incredible TV program, I can't help but think he wasn't influenced by what he saw that evening when he came for his own premiere.
Yes, I remember clearly the choirs performed his I Saw Three Ships, and there were some bells ringing in the anthem as well. And some years later, Bells on Temple Square, which is the handbell choir of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, began, and they are one of the finest handbell ensembles in the world today. And it's so wonderful to see how the Mormon Tabernacle Choir includes handbells into not only their Christmas specials, but also their morning worship. The next piece that we'll be playing for you now is a wonderful setting. Actually, it was written back in the 1980s. Our program celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. Westminster Choir College was the first institution of higher learning to develop a handbell program in the world. So here's a setting that has taken us through the many Christmas seasons. It's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. The 25th anniversary performances of Readings and Carols occurred this past weekend. However, the performance will be aired on WWFM, the Classical Network, on Monday, December 18th at 8 p.m., and as tradition goes, on Christmas Day at 3 p.m.
This year's program highlights, obviously, our choirs and the pieces that we'll be singing that are out of the traditional carol repertoire. This year, we're doing a new piece. Schola Cantorum is singing a new work by Paul Mueller, In the Bleak Midwinter. And because of the 25th anniversary, Schola Cantorum has commissioned our own faculty member, Doug Helvering, a piece called Open the World, Peace on Earth. It is a kind of sonic wonder piece that will be sung from the back balcony. Chapel Choir, likewise, because of the 25th year, has commissioned an arrangement of Infant Holy, Infant Lowly by faculty member Ryan Brando. And also this year, we're thrilled to welcome back our friend and former colleague, Ken Cowan, who's professor of organ at Rice University. I don't think any program about our readings and carols can be aired without talking about the incredible Mander organ that supports all of this and the incredible sounds that it produces to support an incredible, glorious evening. you know, through the years, the organists that have played it, we've explored what works in that room, what works for accompanying the carols, and the sounds that are possible. And that organ also, for example, when we commissioned Dan Forrest for the first Noel, he went and heard the organ and heard it in that room, and that whole arrangement came out of what he heard as possibilities from that organ with brasses. We have also used the solid brass players for my entire time here. They played in the early years all the way through, and they have been a staple of this performance also.
They, along with the mandolin instruments, support the wonderful congregational singing on the carols, as well as the choral singing from our ensembles.
I hope you all enjoy this broadcast of Readings and Carols this year. And I want to wish each one of you an incredible holiday season, and also remind you that if you want any of this music to repeat itself in your own home, much of the music that has been part of Readings and Carols can be heard on a Naxos CD entitled Carolay, Music for Christmas, recorded by the Westminster Williamson Voices, with your host James Jordan conducting. On that CD is music by James Whitbourne and Steve Pilkington.
And on behalf of the entire Westminster Choir College and Rider University community, we send best wishes for a wonderful holiday season.
Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the classical network, David Osenberg, producer. I'm your host, James Jordan. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical and Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation and membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and WWFM.org.
Once again, the broadcasts of this year's, the 2017 Westminster Choir College's Readings and Carols, will be Monday evening, December 18th at 8 p.m. as our Celebrating Our Musical Future, and then Christmas Day at 3 p.m. We hope you can join us for those broadcasts here at the award-winning Classical Network and on WWFM.org.